Let's look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 this morning in the Word of God. I'd like to bring a message I have entitled, The Crucified Life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If we were to take the time this morning and look at the life of the Apostle Paul after he was saved, after he was born again, we would all stand in awe at the life in which he lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was used mightily of God. He magnified God with his life. However, before he was saved, he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was a devout enemy of Jesus Christ. Yet this blasphemer, this persecutor, this devout enemy of Christ met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he was instantly changed. That's biblical. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, the Apostle Paul lived his life for the Lord Jesus Christ, but how did he do that? How did he live his life for the Lord Jesus Christ? What was the secret of Paul's life? The secret of Paul's life is found in our text this morning, Galatians 2:20. Notice, please, where the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which now I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, the Apostle Paul lived the crucified life. Brethren, you ought to be living the crucified life if you want to be used mightily of God, if you want to magnify God with your life, if you want to be used to the full potential of your life today for Christ, you've got to be living the crucified life. We're going to notice three things. Number one, crucified with Christ. Number two, Christ liveth in me. Number three, I live by faith. Let us pray. Lord, please accomplish your will among us this morning. May everything that's said and done bring honor and glory to the Lord. May the Holy Spirit of God teach truth. Thank you again for allowing me the privilege to be here today. Accomplish your will. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Notice number one, crucified with Christ. Now, Paul had been talking about the crucified life, but what did he mean by that? The answer is found over there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, where the Apostle Paul said, And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. What was Paul saying? Paul was simply saying this. A crucified man is one who has put to death his own lusts of the flesh. A crucified man is one who has put to death his own desires of the flesh. A crucified man is one who has put to death his own affections of the flesh. So let me ask you something. What are those lusts of the flesh? What are those desires of the flesh? What are those affections of the flesh? Anything you love more than you love Jesus Christ is a lust of the flesh. Anything you love more than you love Jesus Christ is a desire of the flesh. Anything you love more than you love Jesus Christ is an affection of the flesh. It is that simple. And to the degree that you live your life to those fleshly lusts, to those fleshly desires, to those fleshly affections, to that very same degree, you're living the self life opposite of the crucified life, because the crucified life is the life and then the child of God who determines, by God's grace, I'm going to die. I'm going to die to my flesh. I'm going to die to my lusts of the flesh. I'm going to die to my desires of the flesh. That is, I'm going to crucify my flesh to those lusts. I'm going to crucify my flesh to those desires. I'm going to crucify my flesh to those affections. So, let me ask you something. What do you love more than you love Jesus Christ? Is there anything in all the world you'd not give up for Christ? Now think with me. Any job, any career, any hobby, any sport, any type of possession today you'd not give up for Christ? Is there anyone in all the world that holds greater affection than Jesus Christ does? Any mom, any dad, any brother, any sister, any aunt, any uncle, any grandma, any grandpa, any grandson, any granddaughter, any son, any daughter, any husband, any wife, any girlfriend, any boyfriend that holds greater affection than Jesus Christ does. Is there anything in all the world that means more than Christ? Any dream, any plan, any ambition, any goal, any feeling, any attitude that you love more than you love Christ? Well, brethren, we all have an old sin nature, an old flesh nature that has carnal lusts, that has carnal desires, that has carnal affections. We cannot get away from that because it is part of our nature. What was Paul saying? Paul was simply saying this. Though you have an old sin nature, an old flesh nature that has carnal lusts, that has carnal desires, that has carnal affections, the crucified man does not allow those to control him. The crucified man does not permit those to control him. They do not control where he goes. They do not control what he does. They do not control what he says. They do not control what he feels. Those lusts of the flesh, those desires of the flesh, those affections of the flesh do not control the crucified man, because the crucified man has instead crucified himself. That is, he's crucified those lusts of the flesh. He's crucified those desires of the flesh. He's crucified those affections of the flesh. So what was Paul saying? Paul was simply saying this. I have taken the old sin nature, the old flesh nature that I have, that I was born with, and I have nailed it to the cross. I've given up my rights. I've given up my dreams. I've given up my plans. I've given up my ambitions. I've given up my goals. I've given it all up because I am crucified with Christ. But can that be said of you this morning? Have you nailed the old sin nature, the old flesh nature that you have, that you were born with, to the cross? Have you given up your rights? Have you given up your dreams? Have you given up your plans? Have you given up your ambitions? Have you given up your goals? Have you given it all up because you too are crucified with Christ? Brethren, the crucified life is the life that demands that Jesus Christ come first. Amen. Mark 8:34, Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What was Jesus saying here? Jesus was simply saying this. If you're going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, I've got to be first. I've got to be first in your life. I've got to be first in your dreams. I've got to be first in your plans. I've got to be first in your ambitions. I've got to be first in your goals. I've got to be first in your marriage. I've got to be first in your dating. I've got to be first in your home. I've got to be first in your business. I've got to be first in your church. I've got to be first in your standards. I've got to be first in your studies. I've got to be first. Listen, anything that contradicts the word of God in life has got to go. And that is why a vast majority of God's people today will never live the kind of life the Apostle Paul lived. My friend, they're not willing to do that. They're not willing to give up whatever contradicts the will of God in their life. Therefore, they'll never live the kind of life the Apostle Paul lived. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. What was Paul saying? Paul was simply saying this, I die to myself, and I nail myself to the cross. You say, preacher, what must I do? It's very simple. You need to nail your lust of the flesh to the cross. You need to nail your desires of the flesh to the cross. You need to nail your affections of the flesh to the cross. You need to nail your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, and your goals to the cross. It is that simple. Are you crucified with Christ this morning? You ought to be if you want to be used to the full potential God wants to use you today in His service. With notice number one, crucified with Christ, but notice number two, Christ liveth in me. So let me ask you something. What takes the place of self-rule? It is the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. What takes the place of those fleshly lusts? What takes the place of those fleshly desires? What takes the place of those fleshly affections? It is the will of God. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What was Paul saying? He was simply saying this. I crucify my flesh, and in its place I put Jesus Christ living out His life in and through me. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. Is that the way you're living your life today? The crucified life is living in such a way that the Lord Jesus Christ lives out His life in and through you. It is so yielding to the Holy Spirit of God that the Holy Spirit of God does in and through you what He did in and through Jesus Christ. So let me ask you another question. How did Jesus Christ, God's Son, live His life on the earth some 2,000 years ago? How did He fight the devil? How did He fight temptation? The answer is found in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. How did Jesus Christ, God's Son, live His life on the earth some 2,000 years ago? How did He fight the devil? How did He fight temptation? The Bible says He did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went out to fight the devil in the power of the Spirit. He went out to fight temptation in the power of the Spirit. And He returned in the power of the Spirit. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Read your Bible. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. And He returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, the very same Holy Spirit that gave Jesus power will give you power today. Amen. How then can you crucify your flesh? Brethren, you can crucify your flesh by walking in the Spirit. As a child of God, you ought to be crucified with Christ. That is, you ought to nail your fleshly lust to the cross. You ought to nail your fleshly desires to the cross. You ought to nail your fleshly affections to the cross. You ought to nail your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, and your goals to the cross. You ought to be living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus lived in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Why? So that the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is reproduced in and through you today as a child of God. Amen. But you say, preacher, how in the world am I going to accomplish all of that? That's number three. I live by faith. You see, the Apostle Paul's not finished with us. He goes on to say in Galatians 2:20, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." All right, what was Paul saying? Paul was simply saying this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the way I do all that is I live by faith. Now, the faith the Apostle Paul is talking about here is the way you live your life. Now, you ought to be living by faith. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Mark 11, 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Question, how then can you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? You can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God as you daily walk in simple faith before God. The Christian life is not seeking a feeling. The Christian life is not seeking some experience. The Christian life is walking by faith every day. Faith in God's ability. Faith in God's character. Faith in God's leadership. Faith in God's love. Faith in God's providence. Faith in God's sovereignty. Faith in God's strength. Faith in God's wisdom. Faith in God's word. Faith in God's power. Now, do you truly want to live the kind of life the Apostle Paul lived? Now, he was used mightily of God, and he magnified God with his life. You say, preacher, I would. I'd like to live the kind of life the Apostle Paul lived after he was saved, after he was born again. He was used mightily of God, magnified God with his life. But how can I do that? How can I live the kind of life the Apostle Paul lived? My friend, you can live the kind of life the Apostle Paul lived when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and lay down your life beside Him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust You with my life. I'm going to trust You with my dreams. I'm going to trust You with my plans. I'm going to trust You with my ambitions. I'm going to trust You with my goals. I'm going to trust You with my marriage. I'm going to trust You with my dating. I'm going to trust You with my home. I'm going to trust You with my business. I'm going to trust You with my church. I'm going to trust You with my standards. I'm going to trust You with my studies. I'm going to trust You, Lord. I'm going to trust You with my life, because I know You have a far better plan for my life. And You can do a far better job of running my life than I can ever do. So I'm simply going to trust You with it. I'm simply going to trust You with my life. What's said of you this morning, or do you fret and worry? Because you do not trust God. Because you do not trust God to know what He's doing in your life. Now, you ought not be doing that. You ought to have faith in God this morning. You ought to have faith in the Word of God. Listen to the Bible. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't fret and worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request
be made men unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Psalms 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Brethren, you ought to have faith in God this morning. You ought to have faith in the Word of God. You ought to have faith in God Almighty that He knows what He is doing in your life. Simply trust God to know what He is doing in your life. You know why some of you folks are so afraid to even consider full-time Christian service for the Lord? You don't think God knows. You don't think God knows how to run your life. You know why some of you folks are so afraid to even consider full-time Christian service for the Lord on some foreign mission field? You say, preacher, God will send me to Africa and I have to eat worms the rest of my life. No, that's not it. You don't think God knows, my friend. You don't think God knows how to run your life. You know why some of you folks are scared about your finances this morning? You're scared because you don't think God knows how to run your finances. You know why some of you folks are so scared about your life? You're scared because you don't think God Almighty knows how to run your life. You think God Almighty is going to mess up your life today as a child of God. How foolish you are. How you must anger the God of heaven when you do not allow Him to have complete control, rule, and reign over your life today as a child of God. Well, God knows how to run your life. God was running lives a long time before you got here. And He will be running lives a long time after you're gone. He has always done a good job. God has never made one mistake. God never fails. Well, why then don't you trust Him? Why then don't you trust Him with your life? All right, let's look at the life of Job just a few minutes. Job says, I don't know what's going on in my life right now. I don't know what's happening in my life right now. Everything seems to be going wrong. My life is an absolute mess. I don't understand it. I've lost all my children. I've lost all my earthly wealth. I pray and I pray and I pray and nothing seems to happen. I pray and I pray and I pray and I don't get any answers from God. My body's an absolute mess. I had boils from the sole of my foot into my crown, and my wife is over here telling me to curse God and die. Yet in all that, he said, Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. All right, what was Job saying? Job was simply saying this, I am going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you with my dreams. I'm going to trust you with my plans. I'm going to trust you with my ambitions. I'm going to trust you with my goals. I'm going to trust you with my marriage. I'm going to maintain mine own ways before you. He was simply saying this, I'm going to do what is right regardless of the circumstances of life. Though my wife tells me to curse God and die, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to live for God. Though my body is an absolute mess, though I have boils from the sole of my foot into my crown, I can't even get out of bed. I'm still going to love you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to have faith in you that you know what you're doing in my life. I'm going to serve you. Though I pray and I don't get any answers, I know you are a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God, and I'm simply going to trust you. Amen. Though I've lost all my children, I've never been there. Though I've lost all my earthly wealth, I'm going to live for you, God. I'm simply going to trust you with my life. Though I don't understand it, I'm simply going to trust you with my life because I know you have a far better plan for my life. And you can do a far better job of running my life than I can ever do. So I'm simply going to trust you with it. I'm simply going to trust you with my life. But can that be said of you this morning? Or do you fret and worry because you do not trust God? Because you do not trust God to know what He's doing? I ought not be doing that. You ought to have confidence in God. Job did. Job had confidence in God. Job had faith in God. Faith in God's ability. faith in God's character, faith in God's leadership, faith in God's love for Him, faith in God's providence, faith in God's sovereignty, faith in God's strength, faith in God's wisdom. You see, Job came out on the other side. What was the secret of Paul's life? The secret of Paul's life is found in Galatians 2:20, where the Apostle Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." I'm saying this. Paul lived the crucified life. He lived a life crucified to his lust of the flesh. He lived a life crucified to his desires of the flesh. He lived a life crucified to his affections of the flesh. He lived a life that was totally yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, which allowed Christ to live out His life in and through him. He lived a life characterized by faith. My friend, he had faith in God. He had faith in God's Word. Is that the way you're living your life this morning? Are you living a life crucified to your lust of the flesh? Are you living a life crucified to your desires of the flesh? Are you living a life crucified to your affections of the flesh? Are you right now living a life that is totally yielded to the Holy Spirit of God living in you this morning, which allows Christ to live out His life in and through you? Are you living a life characterized by faith? Do you have faith in God this morning? Do you have faith in the Word of God? Do you have faith in God Almighty that He knows what He is doing in your life today? Simply trusting God to know. My friend, if you want to be used mightily of God, if you want to magnify God with your life, if you want to be used to the full potential God wants to use you today, my friend, you must be crucified with Christ. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, no one looking about.